Okay, up next, correlating field, greenhouse, and laboratory measurement of nitrogen release by controlled-release fertilizers. Wolf, Baldwin, Osso, Adam, and Ooh. Presenting Joe Wolf.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you very much for the introduction. So I'm Joe Wolf. I am a scientist at Scotts Miracle-Gro. Up until just this last July, I was working in the turf fertility group. And today I'm happy to be here to talk with you about some of the work that me and my colleagues have been doing to look at the field greenhouse and lab measurements techniques, looking at controlled release fertilizer release rates, and the modeling that we've been doing statistically to correlate and compare these different methods. So why are we interested in looking at this in the first place? Well, in 2016, Scotts re-entered for the first time in about 15 years the professional market with Scotts Secure Nutrients, which is a controlled release fertilizer product that we're selling to high-end golf courses and athletic field managers. Now, those of us who are still with Scotts, we realized at that point that most of the old professional biologists and salespeople had sort of left the company in the time since we had last done that research. So we had to recommit ourselves to expanding our understanding of controlled release fertilizer technologies and the testing methods that are typically used in order to, measure the release rates of them, get the best read on how our products actually worked. And then to, through doing that, provide the best possible consumer experience for our users. So to give a little bit of background on what exactly controlled release fertilizers are, I doubt that this will be a big newsflash to anybody in this room. They're typically used in specialty crops and highly managed turf systems. Most of the time, they offer a specific time period for release. So, for example, a 90-day fertilizer or 120-day fertilizer is meant to sort of meter out that nitrogen release over that time period. The advantages of this are typically that they, for one thing, improve your nutrient use efficiency by reducing your potential for leaching and volatilization. But other than that, they provide also more uniform sort of greening and growth patterns. So you try to avoid, as you can see in the bottom right there, the sort of spikes in growth, surge growth, and color that you would typically see from a urea or an ammonium sulfate, and sort of just want a nice, as you can see with the red line, kind of even, smooth greening and growth throughout the entire duration that you're looking for. Now, as for how controlled release fertilizers work, typically they're a urea granule, in our case, urea prill, that is coated with a polymer, sometimes in combination with a sulfur coating or a wax. And they're typically driven by water, is how the release rate works. So water moves in through the coating, it dissolves the nitrogen into solution, creating a gradient, and the nitrogen then begins to move out through the polymer. The speed at which it moves out is typically determined by the coating constituents and the thickness thereof. And eventually the soil moves into the soil solution where it's taken up by the turf grass in this case. Now, how do you actually measure how quickly nitrogen is released from these products? That's the real question that we were faced with when we first started developing these SSN products. And in the literature that we've found thus far, there are three main methods that are used for measuring nitrogen release. Now, the first is done in a lab. As you can see in the bottom left here, typically what's done is you put these granules into a water solution, you incubate it in water over time, and you measure the supernatant for nitrogen release that way. There's an additional way to do this, which we refer to as a DISTEC, because we use a DISTEC autosampler. Typically, what you do there is you incubate them at a high temperature, like 60 degrees Celsius, 140 degrees Fahrenheit, and agitate them, and that sort of increases the rate of release over time. Now, there are some advantages to this method, and we're very fond of it ourselves. It allows you for a very rapid assessment, especially when you're raising that temperature. If you're looking at a 120-day product, rather than having to take 120 days, that can take maybe 100 hours, less than a week to get that measurement. So that's great. The downsides, of course, for one thing, that's a pretty big investment in equipment for lab analysis if you have that issue. But secondary to that, the problem really is to question whether or not that actually translates to field performance for an end user. That was our main concern. It sounds great if you can get 120-day release in water, but what does that mean when you have the wet-dry cycles in an actual turf stand? Now, the second method that we found in the literature, and I'm not going to delve too deep into this because it's not what we ended up using, is soil column leachate analysis. Now, typically granules are integrated into your soil column in this case, and you're analyzing the leachate for nitrogen levels over time. Now, one of the great advantages to this that I will point out is you can use soil moisture probes, for example, in a greenhouse or lab to maintain a constant or consistent soil moisture levels throughout the duration of the experiment. So that's great. And our gardens group does use this method for our Osmocote products for gardens, but for turf, it didn't really seem necessarily the most appropriate for us. And once again, the question with turf is, does that translate into what we see in the field? Now, the last method that we used, and the one that we were using for these experiments and had been using in the past, was doing field studies measuring nitrogen release by weight loss using these mesh nylon bags. And you can sort of see a picture in the bottom right of what these trials look like. I'll go more in detail into this method in a moment. But typically what you would do is you would put a known amount of fertilizer into a permeable bag and place them out into the field, maintain the turf as best as you can to replicate actual field conditions, and measure nitrogen release that way. Now, the big advantage of this that overcomes the other two is this is an actual true assessment of how this fertilizer performs in the field, which is great. The disadvantages are, for one thing, speed and labor, because for a 120-day release product, you actually have to continue sampling for 120 days. And that feeds into the other issue with this, which is the uncontrolled environment of the turf stand that you're looking at. Now, that's important when you're talking about field performance. And in this case, I'm not necessarily just talking about temperature and moisture fluctuations, but the fact that you really only have one growing season and one specific time to work in if you're trying to replicate what a turf manager would see. So if you get a new product you want to test and it's December rather than in March or April when these applications would be made, then you're kind of limited in what exactly you can do. So we were trying to find ways to correlate and build relationships between these methods to give us a method that we could use year-round that wouldn't necessarily, you know, kill us with our timings, and would also give us a good representative way to measure these release rates for an end user. Now, the end result of any of these methods would be to build a graph kind of like this, with a timetable on the x-axis and your percent nitrogen release on the y-axis. And in looking at the literature, what we had found was that a bag retrieval type method in the field was the only way that we could do it that was actually 100% we could be sure relevant to the end user, or as close as we could get it. And laboratory and soil column results hadn't to this point been correlated with actual field data, which was, you know, part of what fed into us wanting to do this research. So our objectives in doing this research were twofold. The first was to measure the nitrogen release rate of controlled release fertilizers in a greenhouse under simulated field conditions. And we wanted to compare those to data that we took in the field, just in order to build out a method that we could use in a greenhouse to do this kind of work year-round, rather than being limited to a single field season. Secondly, once we had that information, we wanted to use the information that we gathered from our field and greenhouse data to build a statistical model to predict nitrogen release rates under field conditions, where our input would be the nitrogen release rate of our high-throughput incubation tests done in the lab. And I realize that's a bit of a mouthful, but hopefully as I go through this, it'll become more clear what I'm talking about. As for how we conducted these experiments, our field trials were conducted August through December of 2016. Greenhouse trials followed immediately thereafter. And our lab incubation studies were done with the same samples, same fertilizers, initiated in conjunction with those field studies. And at each timing, we analyzed 5 replicates of each treatment. As for how our bag retrieval studies were actually set up, we used these, as I said, permeable mesh nylon bags, 5x10, filled with a known quantity of fertilizer. In our case, we used 1 gram of nitrogen per each fertilizer per each bag. They were then organized, labeled, as you can see in the bottom right there. We have DD, which is the treatment designation, 2, the rep, and 12, the week. So we were sampling weekly, biweekly, or monthly, depending on the duration of release, and I'll get to that in a moment. Once the bags were actually organized, they were placed into a grid, as you can see in the bottom left, which allowed us to replicate and randomize all of these treatments under simulated field conditions. So in the field, this is kind of what that wound up looking like. We would build this grid with 1 square foot plots. We would have a map, and each of the bags would be placed into the sward, kind of down, trying to ensure good soil to granule contact, and trying to keep consistent moisture on these granules, similar to what they would be seeing if they had actually been applied in the field. In the field, we attempted to get, you know, 2 centimeters about of water per week, but of course, given, you know, rain conditions, you can't really control that so well, but that was what we were shooting for. In the greenhouse, we tried to simulate the same conditions as best we could. So our temperature for the day and night cycles were similar to what you would see in either mid-spring or early fall in Ohio, and we were irrigating at the same amount of water on average per week of about 2 centimeters. The turf was transplanted into these large sort of blocks of turf, if you will, sodded over the top and maintained as a lawn for several weeks to ensure, you know, good rooting before we actually initiated the trial. And it wound up looking like that in the end. So we were pretty happy with how this started, how this looked at the outset. As for our laboratory analysis, all of our incubated lab samples were agitated, as I said, at 60 C, and they were sampled every 4 hours using a Distech dissolution system and automated sampler. And the release of the incubated samples was analyzed using a refractive index detector, and then all of our samples were analyzed for nitrogen loss using percent TN with a TrueSpect CHN. As for the products that we actually looked at here, we were looking at our SSN products primarily, our 4590 and 120 day, and we were also looking at several similar coated fertilizer technologies just to see if our model could account for those as well. So XCU, ESN, and duration 120 day were also included, with different sampling frequencies and sampling lengths depending on the duration of release that you would see. Speeding through our statistics really quickly, we calculated our formulas for predicting release rates using SAS with SAS 9.4, and using 80% total nitrogen release as a benchmark, which is kind of the industry standard for controlled release fertilizers. We attempted to generate a statistical model to predict nitrogen release under the field conditions based on our accelerated incubation studies nitrogen release rates. So getting right into our results, unfortunately I don't have too much time to delve into the specifics and a lot of the results that we got, but I wanted to at least touch on the more interesting aspects of it, I felt. So first off, what we have here is a graph with similar to the one that you already saw, with days on the x-axis, percent N release on the y-axis. And you can see this is our field and greenhouse results overlaid on top of one another, the black dots being the greenhouse, the white dots being the field. And as you can see, they were almost identical. So we were really happy with our findings that we could actually simulate what a field conditions would be like with our greenhouse bag retrieval method. For this example, our 45-day product reached 80% release at 38 days in the field versus 42 days in the greenhouse. So they were very, very close. And this was consistent throughout our other treatments as well. Now, taking a look at what our incubation release actually looked like here, you can see our 45, 90, and 120-day products in all of these graphs, very similar, except the x-axis is looking only at hours rather than days, and the percent release is on the y-axis. Now, what you can see here is we're getting very rapid sampling, very quick, as you can see, only 28 to 96 hours for these studies versus 120 days for our greenhouse studies. And there's not a lot of variability, so that feeds into what we were looking to do with our modeling. Is we wanted to take this because excellent R-squared, excellent fits for these models. We wanted to take these results and give this in an equation form to our formulators to say, okay, if it takes 80%, if it takes 32 hours in our accelerated incubation study to reach 80% release, how long would it take to reach that release in days in the field? That was the overall goal that we were shooting for. And we actually managed to achieve that with this model that we built here. Now, here, this graph is a little bit different. We have the number of hours to 80% release on the x-axis in our accelerated studies, and we have days to 80% release on the y-axis for our greenhouse studies. As you can see, our R-squared is 0.71, so there was a bit of variability in this, but we felt very good about this model. And as you can see, what we can do here, we can give this to our formulators and the people who are responsible for making our coated fertilizers, and they can use this to say, okay, in our Distech machine, this took 60 hours, so we would predict that it would fall within this curve somewhere. And then when we take it into the field, this is not necessarily a replacement for field studies, but we would know what to look for. So we're very confident that this model provided a good starting point for formulating our new products. But as you can see with this red circle here, not all coating technologies are going to perform the same. So that was our duration 120 that we were looking at. And you can see it actually took longer than any other fertilizer to release in our greenhouse studies, but released much faster than many of the others in our Distech. So that's a coating issue, probably a component of the coating, possibly a wax that reacted differently with the heat of our incubation studies, that just released much faster in water than it would in the field. So clearly not all coatings will perform the same. I did want to touch on the fact that we're also looking at field performance and greening here. So you can see in this graph our nitrogen release curve plotted versus our change in a dark green color index via DIA. So you can see that they line up very well also. And as far as what we're doing next, we are looking at more coding technologies. We want to expand our model to see if we can improve that fit. We're looking at turf color responses based on nitrogen release rates to see if we can build a relationship between those. And we want to compare our results to experiments conducted under different environmental conditions, not only Ohio, but simulate Florida conditions, simulate California conditions, because obviously different turf managers will have different needs. Now, sorry I had to speed through that very quickly, but that's pretty much all I have for you guys today. I hope it was informative, and I'm really happy to take any questions that you might have now.